So we'll figure it out. Well, I'm excited to be with you this morning and start off this new series Pastor John mentioned on prayer and just this invitation that God gives us as Christ followers to come to Him and engage in relationship with Him. So hopefully you're ready for that. There's just such a need in our world for prayer right now. There's such a need for prayer in Billings specifically, or in your neighborhood, or in your kids' schools or your grandkids' schools. Prayer is a powerful tool. It's a powerful resource that we have access to as Christ followers. And sometimes we put some obstacles between us and prayer, and it really, it doesn't need to be difficult or hard for us to enter into prayer. So we're going to start that conversation today, but I encourage you over the next several weeks, make it a priority to be here. Make it a priority to pray. Well before the week of prayer, make it a priority to engage on purpose with God. Because life throws a lot at us, right? It throws a lot at us all the time. And so we get to have direct access to God in heaven to communicate with Him and present those things to Him. So we're excited about that. We serve a God who wants to engage with us in life. He's not a distant God who's just far away and says, well, you just figure things out. No, he wants to hear from us. He wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to, he's alive and he wants the life that we live to be alive in Him and through Him. And one of the best ways that we can do that is prayer. I want to encourage you again, if you have not signed up for a time slot during the week of prayer, consider where you can get plugged in on purpose. Even if it's just one time slot, that's great. Maybe it's a couple. If it's during the day, if your schedule allows, and you come here and take advantage of this space, sometimes getting out of your normal space kind of helps you focus, so maybe that's good for you. Or set up a time during the evening or overnight. It's an intentional step that you take toward God, which is always a good thing. But sign up early, which is now. Sign up early, or you might get the 2 a.m. time slot. And I'm not saying that's a bad time to pray, but it's a tired time to pray, right? But maybe that's what God wants to challenge you in. Who here is someone who needs their rest? Like, you need the solid 8, 10, 12 hours. Okay. Who does well with just like, I can operate on however much sleep. Raise your hands. Raise them. Keep them up. All right, Pastor John, all these people just volunteered for the overnight shifts. I tend to not be someone who always needs a lot of sleep to function. Don't get me wrong, I love sleep. And thank God in heaven for naps. Like, I'm a big nap. I would love a nap. I took a nap every day in college, and it was so good. It was so good. But I can usually do well running on just a little bit of sleep. It's usually not too big of an issue for me. But that changes oftentimes when I've been really active during the week, especially when I'm out doing yard work. It just, when the nighttime comes, it's a good time to rest because you've been working hard. And this week, between the sun and the snow, I've gotten actually a lot done in my yard, which is good, but I've been tired this week because of it, just getting out and trying. We were joking yesterday, nothing's easy in our yard, and that's probably true for everyone, but it feels especially true for us, like nothing's easy, so we just have to work hard whenever we do it. So I've slept well. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. Prior to moving to Montana, I was a licensed pyrotechnician for 15, 20 years and did professional fireworks shows, huge passion of mine. And the church that we were at hosted one on the 4th of July for our community for many, many years. And it was always one of my favorite weeks of the year just to pour into this show, ultimately to bless the community and engage people on our church campus that would never otherwise step foot on church property. They came to watch fireworks, which for me was a big step for some of these people. But it was always one of the most tiring weeks of the year leading up to the 4th of July. Now, I did other shows. They were tiring for a day, but this particular show was always, it just took a lot to get it all prepared. And so leading up to the 4th, usually the few days before the 4th, I take off work and spend the whole day, 12, 14 hours, prepping for the show, getting everything ready. Sometimes I had people that would come help, sometimes not. It would just take a lot. And then the day of the show, I'd wake up, I'd get there and start prep at about 5 a.m., and I'd work all through the day until the show, and then clean up afterwards. So I usually wouldn't get home and get into bed until 1:30 sometime around there. So a full day. It wasn't a big space that we were in, but it was like a Disneyland marathon of walking in a space like smaller than this room. So it was like I walked 20 miles in this space every 4th of July. It took a lot. And I would get into bed and I would crash. And it was always a little bit of a mystery on when I would actually wake up the next day. Who knows? Noon, 1, 2, 3 o'clock. It was just all the exhaustion of the full week, of the anxiety leading up to it. It just like finally came to a conclusion and I could rest. And it was always so, it was such a refreshing rest to wake up from. And just like it's over, it's done. It almost always went well. I could just rest. I could just rest in that. Christine was always stressed out for different reasons. It was not her favorite week of the year. So I'm sure come the 5th of July, she was feeling rested in a different way too. But how about you? When was the last time you really felt truly rested? You don't have to answer out loud, but just think about that for a moment. When was the last time you felt really, really rested? And I'm going to push a little bit on this. Maybe not just a good night's sleep kind of a rest, or a day off of work, or a weekend where it's nothing scheduled. Isn't that always just such a miracle? I don't have any plans for this weekend. But when's the last time you felt truly rested, like deep down in your soul rested? It may take a little bit longer for you to think of one of those times, if you even can think of one of those times. Now, that post-4th of July rest, again, it was always good, but I woke up and my body was still sore. My mind was still racing of, oh, I wish that would have happened differently, or this would have gone differently. It was a temporary relief to the physical tiredness, but it was never really a true rest that I'm talking about. And the reality is that most of us know what it's like to just keep going while we're carrying something heavy, whether that's something physical or something emotional or spiritual. We know what that's like to just keep going and keep going. We show up where we need to be. We do what needs to be done. We fulfill the responsibilities of life day in and day out. And on the outside, maybe we make sure everything looks fine. But inwardly, eventually something starts to feel worn down. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's just like, it just wears on you. Something inside of you feels tired, but not like physically tired or like you need to sleep. It just, there's this heaviness in our souls that we can't shake. For some of us, that weariness comes from work. And the last six weeks of my work, it's just been heavy as we've worked through some changes in our organization. For others, maybe it's family responsibilities. But you just need one kid in a sport, and you know what I'm talking about. And then maybe there's two kids in sports, and it's like, my life doesn't function anymore, is what it feels like. Some here today are exhausted from grief or from uncertainty or seasons of waiting that just feel like they keep going and going and going longer than you ever expected or hoped for. And for us, a few of us, if we're honest, we don't even know why we're tired, right? We just know that we're tired. I don't know what's causing it, but I feel it in my soul. I just feel that something is not right. And the challenge is that we live in a world that praises people who just do more. That it's become the standard. Well, people who just work hard and put in the effort, those are people worth their salt, right? Those are people who've made it because they can just push through the challenges and they're not bogged down by it. But I would argue those people are pretty tired as well. if they were really honest with themselves. And so as we've mentioned already today, the series that we're starting on prayer is built around this idea that Jesus says to us, come to me. Come to me. When life is really heavy, when your soul is tired or your spirit just feels stretched thin, come to me. And we do that through prayer. We do that through engaging with him on purpose through prayer. And despite how we might feel sometimes that we have to say just the right thing in just the right way at just the right time in just the right place when we pray, when we study God's scripture and we look at the example of Jesus and what he said and invited us to, I think we're going to find something very different when it comes to how we engage with Christ on a daily basis as we pray continually. This series will really be about responding to this invitation that God gives us of coming to him. Plain and simple, that's what it comes down to. It's this conversation between us and our Father in heaven. So I'm excited for it. We're going to start that out today. If you have your Bible, your Bible app, you can go ahead and open up to Matthew. We'll be in chapter 11. It'll be on the screen behind me. We'll be toward the end, verses 28 through 30. So looking through the lens of our tired lives, I thought today we would explore again what Jesus has to say as we approach him. I always feel like, now I'm not good at doing this always, but I always feel like the best place to find solutions to problems that I face is at the feet of Jesus. Now I'm not always good at going to the feet of Jesus first because there's all the other things that I try to do or people that I try to go to or ways I try to complain, but it's really at the feet of Jesus we find solutions to our problems. And so we're gonna figure out what's at the feet of Jesus. Before we read our verse, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our hearts this morning. Continue to work in this place as you've been so faithful in doing already today. Challenge us to see differently. Open our hearts that we could respond to the invitation of coming to you today and experiencing all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Three quick verses. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's good stuff. I'd argue these are probably some of the more well-known words of Jesus that we see written in Scripture. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard these words before, if you've read them. This is maybe your first time engaging with church, or maybe you're coming back after a long time. You may have even heard these words before, and you didn't realize that they were from the Bible, but this is words that Jesus is speaking to us. So there tends to be a level of familiarity with these verses, which can be a good thing, it can be a gift, but it can also be a danger. It's a gift because Scripture becomes familiar enough to comfort us. We've written it on our heart, and it's the first thing, when something arises, it's the first thing that comes out, because our heart's just full of God's word. It can be a danger, though, because sometimes it's like, yeah, I've heard that before. Didn't work last time, why would it work this time? And it's some sort of math equation we've created in our head. So my ask this morning is, if this verse is really familiar to you, approach it with me with a fresh perspective, like you've never heard it before, and allow God to speak maybe something new to you, or remind you of something he's spoken before from these words. And he will be faithful in doing that, I believe. So Jesus says, come to me. Now, when he says come to me, he's not making a theological statement first. He is giving a personal invitation. He doesn't put all these rules and regulations in the way first. He says, I love you. Come to me. That's a personal invitation. Can you imagine that? The God of all of heaven and earth, of infinite history, he invites you personally to come to him. He doesn't start off by saying, telling us what to do. It doesn't begin by him saying, first I need you to try harder, and I need you to do better, and I need you to figure it out, and then come to me. So there's no qualifiers of coming to him except coming to him. which is amazing. We don't have to do a dance and figure out all the things and have it all in place before we come to him. No, we just come to him. So he starts this thought out by telling us where to come, which is to him. Just before this, the verses that precede this, Jesus has just finished denouncing all of these places he's gone where he's performed miracles, and the people haven't repented. They haven't come to him after he's done all these things. And so there's crowds around him. The verses just before that, it's people, you know, referencing John the Baptist. And it's a really interesting dialogue. So I encourage you this week, read Matthew chapter 11. But he denounces all these towns. These people haven't repented and come to him. And so this crowd is around him. And he says this after this, like, if they would just have come to me after they saw me, it would be different. And then he says to the people immediately around him, so you come to me. I've just denounced all these other people for not doing this. This is what's going to happen for those that do this, that come to me. So he told his audience in that day where they should run. And he's telling us today, the same audience, the same people represented in this room of all the different struggles that we go through and all the different challenges that we have, he says to us today, come to me. For many of us, life has trained us to believe that rest comes only after effort. I can rest after I've done something, right? After all, what do we have to rest from if we haven't done anything? Like, logically, it can kind of make sense. But the trouble is, we carry that same feeling into our relationship with God, don't we? That we feel like we can't experience his rest unless we've been obedient. We can't experience his rest unless we've gone to church consistently. We can't experience his rest unless we've tithed like we should. And so we put all of these things in between us and Jesus. It's like, okay, but yeah, I'll sign up for the prayer thing next week because I got to get some stuff in order this week before my name should be memorialized on these pieces of paper, right? And we make it difficult on ourselves. And Jesus flips that idea upside down. He says, rest doesn't come after you've fixed yourself. Rest comes when you come to him. That's where we get rest. Not by the doing, but by the coming to him. I have to imagine this original audience, when they heard him say this, that their hearts leaned in a little bit more. What did he just say? Rest was not something these people associated with God anymore. The rules and the regulations of the Pharisees and all the hoops that you had to jump through and rules about rules and all the processes that you had to follow, relationship with God was not restful. It was burdensome. Obedience to following all of these things and making sure it's like, okay, where am I supposed to be and what am I supposed to do? It made them weary. That obedience made them weary. So this, when they hear it from Jesus, is radical news to them because they've never associated in their lifetime rest in God. Rules in God, yes. Obedience in God in a legalistic way, yes. But rest, not so much. And so we'll look at the words that Jesus used in just a second here. But we can picture today, just picture this. When we pray, we go and sit with Jesus, right? That's what we do. When we pray, whether you're sitting here during the week of prayer or you're at your house or you're walking through the park, whatever it is, we're at the feet of Jesus. And when we're there, everything can be left at the feet of Jesus. And that's where we experience true rest and peace, right? It's not the surface rest or temporary relief. It's rest for your spirit and your soul that recharges you more than just a good night's rest, right? Maybe it's just me, but that weariness I start to feel in my spirit, it doesn't go away after a long night's sleep. Maybe I forget about it for a minute, and then I wake up. It's like, oh, it's still there. It doesn't go away when I go on a long vacation and come home. Isn't that the most tiring thing? It's like, I was just on vacation and I'm tired. Maybe I vacationed wrong. Maybe that's it. isn't just resolved by clearing my schedule. It's like, okay, there's some free time, or there's, you know, I have some margin in life. And it usually doesn't go away with those things. And why? Why are we still weary and heavy burdened, even after rest or you know, time away? It's because we've been carrying things that we were never meant to carry, is what it comes down to. Maybe you walked into this place today and you felt worn down, or you're feeling worn down, or distracted, or overwhelmed, or discouraged, or stretched thin, or spiritually dry, or emotionally heavy. Anyone? Just not just me, right? Like, these are the things that I carry constantly with me, all of the time. And this morning, Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me, come to me. Bring your worries and your cares to me and sit at my feet, and let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Prayer starts not with placing more burdens on your shoulders, but with a step toward God's presence. As we study prayer these next few weeks, take steps toward God's presence. That's the step toward prayer. It's a step toward conversation with a God who loves you and desires the best for you. Maybe you grew up in an environment where you never heard the idea of resting in Jesus or resting at all, right? You heard things like, do better. That was okay. Do better next time, right? Or don't mess it up. Whatever you do, don't mess it up. Or just try harder. Like, you probably could have done more. Just try harder. And without realizing it, maybe, perhaps, just maybe, we've brought those same voices into our relationship with Jesus, right? Here's maybe a few questions you could ask yourself to figure out, is that maybe me? Does prayer feel like just another thing to manage in your schedule? It's like, okay, there's lots of time slots, but does it work for my schedule? You're not busy at 2 a.m. Like, you just sign up, right? I want all those 2 a.m. slots lined up. I probably need to sign up for a couple now. But does it feel like just another thing? It's like, okay, I'll fit prayer in when I have time. Maybe that's some of the voices of your past, other people's voices or your own, saying like, oh, okay, if I do better or try harder. Do you feel guilty that you haven't prayed or that you've missed prayer time? Now, there's healthy conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit, but do you carry this guilt of like, oh, I'm a bad Christian, I haven't prayed enough? So maybe you fall into this camp. When you finish praying, so you maybe you're praying, but when you finish, are your thoughts, did I pray long enough? Did I pray for the right things? Did I say the right things? Did Jesus accept my prayer? Was that too self-focused? Was it too others-focused? And so you just start second-guessing, like, even when you do pray, you start second-guessing, was it the right prayer? The enemy would have you believe that you're failing at prayer. That you're bad at resting in Jesus. That's what the enemy does to us in life in general, and especially when it comes to prayer. He wants to twist everything that's good. And so he brings these doubts, these seeds of doubts in our mind, and says, well, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it bad. You should have done more. And that's not what it does. What that does is heaps more burdens and weariness onto you. And when we come to Jesus in prayer, he isn't offering to just swap burden with burden. He doesn't say, come to me and I'll take your burden and I'll give you something else that's really not fun. That's not what he's saying. He isn't offering us diet burdens, right? It's not weariness zero that he's giving us, right? He offers us something completely different. I always enjoy studying the words that the writers of the Bible use. There's intentionality behind the words that we use. We believe all scripture is inspired by God. So it's worth studying the words. Now we have modern day translation. It doesn't mean that there's different versions of the Bible, but the original Hebrew and Greek doesn't transfer to things like English word for word so well. And so sometimes digging into those words can really help bring scripture alive in a way that the translation that you use doesn't necessarily capture quite as thoroughly. So I love studying words used in the Bible. And this word come, this first word of this whole series, come to me, I think is worth looking at. The Greek word used here, and I don't speak Greek, I think it's deute. We'll go with that for this morning. It's not a harsh command. So when Jesus says come, it's not this harsh command issued from a place of authority. The word deute that he uses here is this invitation. The Greek would have conveyed something that was warm and personal, direct, but from this place of personal connection. It's the kind of word you'd use when motioning someone towards you. Come to me. It's this invitation of relationship that he uses. It isn't Jesus saying, get over here, and I'll give you rest. He says, no, come to me. Come to me. It's this invitation. The heart of Jesus isn't one that stands at a distance with arms crossed, waiting to judge us. That's the picture our world sees. This guy in the sky with his arms crossed, just waiting to smote people with lightning. The heart of Jesus is near. It's approachable. It's welcoming. It's warm. It invites us. It's that simple. There's no other rules attached to coming to Jesus. But we can get stuck here sometimes because we treat prayer for Christ followers, we treat prayer almost sometimes as this reward for spiritual maturity. It's like, well, I'm spiritually mature, so I can pray. Or I'm not spiritually mature, so I don't know if I qualify to pray. Instead of recognizing it as this just plain and simple invitation. Prayer at its core is relational before it's functional, right? It's not about saying the right things, but about drawing near to the right person, which is Jesus. He didn't have to say it. He didn't have to invite it. I don't call people I don't want to talk to. Does anyone do that? You call them, it's like, I don't want to talk to you. And then you hang up. Or you text someone, it's like, go away. No, none of us do that. Jesus, he didn't have to invite us, but he did, right? Some of my greatest moments of prayer have been just me sitting silently before God, just experiencing his presence. And you're like, well, you're not saying anything? No, sometimes it's just sitting at his feet. That's relationship with Jesus. I shared at some point over the last couple of years in a message, my mom suffered cardiac arrest several years ago. Praise the Lord, she made a full recovery. But I left the hospital that first night, and I yelled at God the whole car ride. It was a long car ride. I got tired of yelling by the end of it. But it was from this place of honesty, right? That was my prayer to God in that moment. That's what that moment for me kind of called out. And why could I do that? Because I have a personal relationship with Jesus who loves me, even when I might have a little temper tantrum sometimes. Now, it was justified, I felt like, so I was good. But we can pray wherever. We can pray when we're sitting. We can pray when we're standing. We can pray when we drive. We can pray when we go to work. We can pray when we're shopping for groceries. We can pray when we're hiking in the Bear Tooths or skiing. Whatever it is, we can pray whenever and wherever, at all times. When we're confused, when we fully trust Jesus, there's no qualifier for when we can come to Jesus. How can prayer look like all of those things? It's because it's relational. It's because Jesus just says, come to me, right? Prayer begins the moment we take Jesus at his word and we move toward him. That's when prayer really starts. I want to look at a couple other words that are called out here. The first word is weary. This word weary translates, it comes from the Greek word that means to labor to the point of exhaustion. I read that and I was like, yeah, I get it. Like you just, it's not tired, but it's worn down. It's something different. It's used up, drained from sustained effort. That, for me, that hits home. When I was in high school, track was my sport of choice. And my senior year, I went into it thinking, I'm going to hit the gym that we had at school. I'm going to hit it really hard for the couple months before before track. I just want to go into the season ready to go. My high school had four floors, so lots of stairs, no elevator we could use, so lots of stairs. And I hit the gym so hard the first day. I started where I ended the last season. There was nothing in between in those months, so I hit the gym really cold. And the next day I got to school and I could not get up the stairs because my legs were just weary. They were drained from sustained effort. I at one point thought, I'm going to have to crawl up these stairs. It's like, can you roll upstairs? I don't know. But I'm going to have to do anything I can to get up the stairs. I just felt like I had nothing left in my muscles at that point. And that's the same weariness that Jesus talks about here. It's just feeling drained completely. The other word he uses is burdened. Some translations you might see heavy laden. That phrase refers to something being placed upon you, a weight you're carrying, sometimes because you choose it, and sometimes because it's handed to you. It could be both. It could be either. But weary and burdened. Jesus doesn't define what is making us weary and heavy burdened. There's no qualifier in his invitation. If you're weary from this or if you're burdened from that, the beauty of Jesus' words here is that he doesn't ask us to categorize or justify the weight we're carrying. He just names the reality. He says, you're tired and weary. He knows it. You're tired and weary, so come to me. Psalm 55 puts it this way. Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. Isaiah 53:4 says, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He gets it. He understands it. We serve a God that knows what it's like to carry burden and sorrow. He knows. He knows what it's like to be pressed under unfamiliar weight. The God of all creation who came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ, who lived a life just like you and I did, except in direct communication with the Holy Spirit and his Father in heaven. And he carried those burdens as well. That's why our prayer shouldn't start and pretend like we're okay, right? It's not this YouTube, Instagram, hey friends, I'm here today. This false picture of, hey God, I showed up. Everything's going great. He knows. He knows what's going on. And so we approach him in honesty and we take what we're carrying and we lay it at his feet. I think my favorite part of this whole passage, these three short verses, is the promise that we hear from Jesus in the middle of it. And he invites all of us to come to him, and as we do so, what does he say? He says, I will give you rest. Well, that's a good promise. That's a good promise. Pay attention here. He doesn't say he will teach us how to rest. He doesn't say he will show us the path to rest. He says he will give us rest. The word rest that he uses, it means relief or refreshment or renewal, especially inwardly in our spirits. It's soul-level rest that he gives us. It's the kind that settles that thing inside of us that just won't get settled. That's the rest that Jesus brings to us. He promises rest, not an escape from life. It's important to make note of these things. Like, when we come to him and pray and present our requests to him, it's not like he waves this magic wand and says, life is good, everything's fine. No, his promise of offering rest is within the chaos of our lives or the struggles that we face. That's the rest he promises. Exodus 33:14, I think, captures this really well. When God is talking to Moses, says, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Now, Moses is in the desert. They've just escaped Egypt. He's in the desert. They're on their way to the promised land. And Moses is crying out to God. It says, but I need you to get through this. And God, in his faithfulness, says to Moses, it's okay. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to be with you and give you rest. Moses was still in the desert. He was still surrounded by people who liked to whine and complain a lot. Probably people he was a little annoyed with from time to time. I've never lived in the desert for 40 years. Probably not a lot of fun. But God was with Moses, in the midst of all of it. That's the kind of rest that Jesus offers us. In our Matthew passage, Jesus isn't offering rest apart from himself. He's offering rest through relationship with him. Sometimes rest might look like peace in the middle of uncertainty. It looks like strength to keep going. Sometimes it looks like knowing you're not alone in what you're carrying. And sometimes that's a huge relief. A.W. Tozer said, just as a man's sins are forgiven through Christ, so his weariness is relieved. I love that. The promise for rest as we engage with God isn't a one-and-done thing. Jesus offers us continual rest over and over and over, just as he offers us forgiveness of our sins over and over and over. They're one and the same. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's an invitation to his rest. When we engage in prayer on purpose with God, even if we don't know what to say, it's accepting the invitation for rest. Now, the struggle that some of us might have is receiving rest. But there's so many things to do. But I just have to get to all these things. And so we struggle to receive it. I feel like, moms, you have to know more than I ever could what I'm talking about, right? Because you go to rest and it's like, but the dishes, but the clothes, but this, but that, the other. I get it as a dad a little bit, but I'm not claiming that I know what moms go through. But we struggle to receive rest sometimes, and Jesus gives it to us freely. He says, take it, it's yours. There is a small follow-up to this promise that's really important for us to know. It's verse 30. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I love eggs with easy yolk all day long, right? This is not a promise of unending bacon and eggs from Jesus. I'll receive it, Lord, but that's not the promise. But a lot of times we hear the word yoke, and we don't associate that with rest. Just the instrument that is a yoke. Pastor John, I feel like it's in the last couple of years, talked on this message and had a yoke, a large wooden yoke, from a early homesteading family in Montana. It's not an instrument I look at and think, that's peaceful. Like, that looks restful, right? So it's this wooden instrument placed across the shoulders of animals so they can pull the load together, so they can work in step. And the very idea or image of a yoke carries with it the suggestion, the strong suggestion, of work, of labor, of needing to submit. And that's not always something we like, right? Submitting. So what's Jesus doing here? Didn't he just say we're going to get rest and now it's you're going to be yoked? What he's doing here is creating this picture. He's saying, I'm not going to give you a moment of relief, but as you take my yoke upon you, I'm going to invite you into a new way of living. Now, in the early Jewish culture, yoke was a common metaphor that was used by rabbis teaching a way of life. So this would have been language very familiar with the audience of that day. They would have associated the teacher or the rabbi and this yoke of, okay, now me, myself as a rabbi, here's my yoke and you can follow my way of living. And so it would have been very familiar to them for Jesus, a teacher, a rabbi, to say, take my yoke upon you. To take someone's yoke, it meant to submit yourself to their instruction, to their rhythms, to their interpretation of what life with God would look like. So really what's happening here is Jesus says he will bring rest from the chaos of life, but he takes it one step further and says he wants to be our teacher so he can set the pace. Because I do it all wrong. I set the pace all the wrong ways. But he wants to set the pace. So how does Jesus describe his yoke? Two words, easy and light. Easy and light. Sounds pretty good to me, right? Easy and light. The yoke Jesus wants to place on us isn't one dictated by demands. Follow me and do this and do that and then we'll get there. No, it's not harsh or irritating. It's gentle and humble. It's easy and light. The challenge that we can have is sometimes we buck against that yoke. Well, I want to do it differently. Well, I think I should go over there. And Jesus is calling us to submit. Just like it can be difficult for us to receive rest, sometimes it can be just as difficult, if not more, to accept the yoke that comes from Jesus. That's the kind of teacher he is, though. He chooses that he chooses to be when we come and we talk to him in prayer, when we come and sit at his feet. All too often, the yoke we hook ourselves up to, we're never meant or designed to bring rest. Some of us carry the yoke of perfection, right? It's like, well, if I could just do it right, but you never slow down, right? It's always just, but I have to do better. I have to do better. Some of us carry the yoke of approval. Well, if they just say that they accept me or they approve of me, then I've made it, right? But then we're so focused on what other people think that we just go in the wrong direction. Some of us carry the yoke of comparison or of fear or of control. And how do these yokes leave us feeling? Heavy, tired, anxious, exhausted, restless. A yoke is meant to be shared. It's meant to be engaging with someone. And Jesus is inviting us into his yoke where he shares the load and helps carry the weight. So when we go to God in prayer, we enter this new pace of life. When you sign up for an hour prayer slot on the week of prayer, and you come here, you're at your house, or you're taking a walk, and you submit to God in prayer as you come to him, he will help bring a new pace of living, a new pace of engaging with this world. The conversation opens as we sit at his feet or we walk hand in hand with him, whatever the imagery that you want to use. It's how we're retrained by Jesus, right? When we're engaged in that conversation, it's how he retrains us to respond to the difficulties of life. He retrains us on how to carry responsibilities in a way that is pleasing to him, but that also doesn't bring us down. He retrains us on how to navigate the day-to-day challenges that all of us face. And it becomes less about just trying harder and so much more about just staying close to God, praying continually, having that mindset that's focused on Jesus. God wants to hear from us. Otherwise, he wouldn't have invited us. You want to know the best way to learn how to do something? You do it. Part of my job, I have a lot of trainees that come in to my company. And we just give them so much theory. Here's all the information. And they get through training. They're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I learned a lot, but how do you do it? And I always tell them, and they hate it. I always tell them, we're going to learn how to do it by doing it. And every time, the people who submit to that, of doing it, of getting into it, very quickly come to me and say, oh, it makes sense now. I get it. So, We're gonna do something today as we practice this. I'm gonna invite the worship team up, and I'm gonna give a few instructions first, and then we're gonna move. Instructions first, and then we're gonna do something. But this is what I want to do. In just a moment, there's sticky notes at the end or ends of the aisles you're sitting in. I guess you can do this part now. If you want to take those sticky notes, and just take one and then pass it down the aisle, so everyone has a sticky note. But as you take that sticky note, I want you to start to think of one thing. Only needs to be one. We could list a lot of them. One thing that is making you feel weary or burdened right now. Maybe it's a specific situation. Maybe it's a relationship that's strained. Maybe it's a decision that you're facing, a fear or anxiety that you have. Maybe it's grief that you're processing. Pressure, disappointment, exhaustion. I have no doubt you can pinpoint at least one thing. But there's some examples just in case. Again, in just a second, when you've identified that burden, I want you to write it down. There should be pens in the seats in front of you. If you're in the front row, you can maybe reach back. Write that down. It's a small piece of paper, so not a lot of room. You can make it simplified a little bit. Maybe it's even just one word that you write down. And in just a minute, once everyone's had an opportunity to write things down, I want us to put into practice coming to the feet of Jesus in prayer. if you feel comfortable, and hopefully you do, I don't want to assume for everyone, but what I want to encourage you is to get in groups of three or four. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's people in, ahead of you or behind you or in the same row, and we're going to pray for these things. And it doesn't need to be lengthy, wordy prayers. It just needs to be from your heart. God, we lift up this burden and ask that you take it and bring rest. Maybe that's as simple as your prayer is. So we're going to pray for those things. Again, if you're comfortable sharing that. If your burden is being prayed for, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say to God, today I receive your rest. And I take your yoke that's easy and light. That's it. Prayer is powerful, but prayer can be really simple. That we engage with God in heaven. The worship team is going to just play softly in the background for a couple of minutes while we pray. And then once your group is finished, if you're the first group done, congratulations, that's awesome. If you're the last group done, wonderful, doesn't matter. Once you're done, we have this prayer wall over here that's been prepared in advance for our week of prayer. And I would invite you to take your prayer to the prayer wall. The worship team, they're going to start leading in our last song. So take it to the prayer wall, come back to your seat, stand and engage with God through worship and music. But we're going to cover that wall with prayers. And leading up to and including the week of prayer, we now have an action list of things to pray for. If you get here, it's like, how do you pray for an hour? There's going to be quite a few things you can pray for. You might not have names, but you have burdens to pray for. And as you place your prayer in the prayer wall, consider it as an act of entrusting this particular weary or burdensome thing to God. Okay, God, I release this to you as I put it on the prayer wall. It's this act of surrender. He already knows what you're carrying, so just release it to him. I trust that as we cover this community of believers in prayer in the coming weeks, that we will start to hear stories after story after story of how God has brought rest and released people from those burdens. So we get to be a part of that today. So if you haven't already, write a word, a phrase, whatever it is on your sticky note. I'm going to pray once I'm done praying. Just find a couple people around you. Pray for those things. Once you're done, take to the prayer wall. Matt and the team will lead us in worship after that. Let me pray. Jesus, we hear your invitation today. You see our weariness. You know what our burden is. Both the things that we name easily and the things that we struggle to put into words, you know them. We feel tired in our bodies, in our minds, and in our souls. But you don't turn away from us. Instead, you invite us to come to you. So this morning, God, we come to you, not because we have it all figured out, but because you are good and gentle and faithful, and because your yoke is easy and light. God, teach us today how to rest in you. Teach us to trust and walk at your pace. Teach us how to stop carrying what was never meant to be carried alone in the first place. And as we respond in this moment, help us to trust you with what we place in your hands. Today, God, we receive your rest. We receive it and commit to engaging with you as we sit at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. You can begin to pray and bring those requests to God. And let's fill that wall with prayers that God will be faithful in answering. And then let's worship.
is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room.
Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. God, we give all of these things to you. All of these sticky notes that represent maybe just a fraction of the burdens we're facing right now, we give these things to you because your way is better. So we submit to you as we come to you, and we receive your rest, and we receive your yoke that is easy and light. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Be encouraged today as you leave this place. That's a lot of things we can pray for. I would challenge you every time you come into this room to go over there and pray for at least one of those things. In the coming weeks, let's pray intentionally for these things. And we're gonna see what Jesus will do in the community of this church. Go with God today. We invite you back next week as we continue on this series. Sit at the feet of Jesus this week. I dare not try.